SBS Radio.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Now it's time to catch up with the Wiradjuri woman and science and technology editor Ray Johnston to explore developments in science and technology. Now, Ray, this is our very first episode of the new year, 2022. First of all, Happy New Year and welcome to NITV Radio again.
Happy New Year. It's fantastic to be back. Really excited to be able to tell you some new things happening in the world of science and technology today.
Now, to kick off our episode, we start with a new research that uncovered the vital role a member of the Bandicoot family plays in maintaining native ecosystems. How does that work?
It's really exciting new information. So, Quenda, they're helping to keep Perth's native urban bushland and the native gardens in those areas healthy. Now, this is according to some new research from Edith Cowan University. Quenda are a native marsupial. They're a member of the bandicoot family, and they're found in parks and bushland around the Perth metropolitan area. And they dig over tons of soil each year, and they make these little pits and mix in leaf litter and seeds, and it improves the conditions for native plants to grow and thrive. Now, researchers, they recently looked at the variety of fungi within these quenda droppings that are found in native bushland, because the fungi, they play a really key role in helping native vegetation, including eucalyptus trees, to help absorb water and nutrients. Now, this research team, they were really surprised to find that quenda poo, their droppings, found in smaller bushland areas, contain a larger variety of fungi. Now, this could mean that quenda in those smaller areas of bushland are venturing out into gardens and yards, or even into our bins and rubbish surrounding their native habitats. This sounds like not good news, but it's actually great news for our gardens, because it means that the quenda are venturing into gardens around their native habitats to search for food. So it provides this really accessible and visible link with the health of the bushland. People can see them and see their digging and the evidence of them all around the bushland in Perth, and you know, even in your own backyard. There are a few ways to know if quenda are in your garden, if anyone on Noongar country is listening to this. Now, quenda are keen diggers. They will forage for fungi and bulbs and plant roots, earthworms, other little invertebrates. And you will notice that the holes that they dig, they have a really unique cone shape, which mirrors the shape of their head, really. It looks like the shape of their head. And you can encourage and help quendas that are living in your neighbourhood by giving them habitat. Native habitat, dense native vegetation is really important. One of their favourite habitats is the skirts of grass trees, if you want to plant some grass trees. And they'll shelter there during the day and create little paths to move around. And you can also help by keeping your cats inside. You know, cats are a really big predator of our native animals. So if you are a lover and keeper of cats, making sure that they're kept inside and away from native animals is the best way you can protect them.
And now, researchers at the University of South Australia have developed an algorithm to help robots avoid colliding with humans and other moving obstacles in their path. What an exciting discovery there.
Absolutely. We've got some really smart technologists working here in Australia. Now, if you've ever ordered a product from Amazon, this is the best way to explain what they've done, really. Chances are that a robot has selected your purchase from a shelf, read the barcode and delivered it to the counter for packaging. But there's also people working in those warehouses. So hopefully it didn't collide with a human worker on its way and, you know, hurt that person or lose its path. Now, the odds of that happening have now shortened because the University of South Australia researchers, they've developed an algorithm to help robots avoid hitting humans and other moving obstacles in their path. They've built a computer model that makes sure that mobile robots can recognize and avoid unexpected obstacles, and they can find the quickest and safest path to their destination. Now, this isn't the first time an algorithm like this has been made, but none of them are really 100% foolproof. And the University of South Australia researchers, they tested their model against two of the most common online collision avoidance algorithms, they call them, and they found that their one is just better. You know, sometimes it did take a slightly longer path, but it was faster and safer, and it avoided all of the collisions. This is an algorithm that could be applied in many different environments, including industrial warehouses where robots are commonly used, or for things like robotic fruit picking and packing, or for restaurant robots that deliver food from the kitchen to the table. Anyone who's ever been to Japan would have seen that happening. And this could also be a potential solution for agricultural robots, for example, autonomous lawnmowers or ground robots for crop surveillance and autonomous weeding robots as well. Any kind of job where a robot needs to avoid people, pets, animals, anything that could be moving around, this is where this algorithm could come into play. So shout out to the researchers at the University of South Australia.
Even in the households of people nowadays have these vacuum cleaners that operate themselves. Yes. So this could be applied even in people's homes. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Might be expensive to do for home robots at this stage, but yeah, definitely in the future when the technology becomes a little bit cheaper and is easy to apply, I think we'll definitely see it in our robot vacuum cleaners for sure.
Yeah, it could trickle down very, very quickly. And now there's another one that about a record numbers to attend Australia's flagship STEM Youth Experience in actually this month, January 2022. This is one that I find really exciting to see that a lot of youth would be attending this event.
Well, this is awesome. We've got more than 620 students from all over the country. They're going to be connecting with leading science, technology, engineering, and maths experts. It's the 2022 National Youth Science Forum. It's been running for 38 years now. And you know, obviously, due to COVID, it's online this year. But it means that they've been able to attract record numbers to the program. And for 2022, the Year 12 program participants, they're not just going to connect with one, but two Nobel Prize winners. They've got Professor Peter Doherty and Professor Brian Schmidt, who will be in attendance, and they're going to be alongside a range of experts across all STEM fields, including the chief and lead scientists of Australia. So it's an opportunity for these kids to learn so much, and it gives them exclusive access. They've got live crosses to some of the world's best science and technology facilities, including to research stations in Antarctica, the RV Investigator ship in the Southern Ocean, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Switzerland, and the Natural History Museum in the UK as well. And they're also going to be asked to solve some of Australia's biggest current and future problems. They're going to have challenges, including bringing innovation to agricultural policy, communicating STEM to different audiences, and also coming up with solutions to how Australia will achieve its goal of net zero emissions by 2050. There's so much going on with this program. There's also going to be a house party with Dr. Carl, and there's a big range of science at home digital experiments and some workshops in STEM communication and critical thinking and startups, and it's all online. So if you want to check it out, you can head to the National Youth Science Forum website and it's all there, all the details.
And I'm pretty sure this is one you'll be following closely as well, and hopefully you'll bring us more details about it.
Absolutely. I'll be tuning in whenever I can, for sure. Whatever they'll let me get into. I'm definitely not youth, but I'll be trying to sneak my way into as many workshops as possible.
As a science and technology editor, you will definitely find a way to tap into this one.
That's it.
And finally, Aussie rainforest birds move uphill to beat the heat. But for those at the top, there's nowhere to go. Actually, if they're at the top, where do they go? So
yeah, exactly. This is a really big problem that's been uncovered. There's been an assessment of bird populations in the Australian Wet Tropics World Heritage Area, and it found that lowland species are moving uphill as temperatures increase. And this is displacing all the birds that once lived in those uphill areas. Now, the Australian researchers behind this study, they looked at records of 42 different bird species and how many of them and where they are between 2000 and 2016. And they found that most of the birds that live at high altitudes have been pushed out of the lower levels of their ranges, with numbers of these birds dropping by more than 40%. But numbers of lowland birds in these areas have increased by 190%. So overall, those upland specialized species populations, they've declined by almost half, as have rare species that are unique to those areas. So this suggests that the Australian Wet Tropics World Heritage Area, which is one of the most irreplaceable biodiversity hotspots on Earth, is rapidly degrading. Those birds have nowhere to go, so they're simply dying out, which is incredibly sad.
This is an effect of global warming?
It is. Unfortunately, it's an effect of climate change. As the temperatures increase and those birds need to move to areas where they are at their optimal temperature, there are simply some birds that can't find regions that are cool enough for them anymore. So they are simply not breeding, not reproducing. So there will obviously be more research into those birds and into these areas. So I will keep you updated as we learn more.
And we should all part as well to reduce global warming, because people just take it for granted that the planet will survive on its own, but we need to do to play our part and sustain ourselves and these other species as well.
Definitely. And we need to be putting pressure on the policymakers and the people in power to make sure that we do make those big, strong, bold actions towards combating climate change. Personal small actions are important and significant, but we've got some big issues happening at a really large scale that need addressing. So yeah, we need to put the pressure on.
Well, Ray Johnston, thank you so much for bringing us more exciting science and technology stories today.
No, thanks for having me. It was great to chat with you again, and I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.